Good afternoon. Several years ago, the summer after I graduated high school, I got a job as a valet for a hotel in downtown Portland. Although I had many jobs in my high school years, this one was different in that I got a lot of exercise. Unlike most hotels, our garage wasn't close to the hotel or below it or anything. It was 5 blocks away. And in order to keep from ever possibly being bored, we'd, along with parking the cars as closely as possible, we would sprint to the garage and back. And that summer, I had a lot of exercise. I had the gym membership. It was pretty intense. Looking back on it now, there was no way to really explain the amount of calories that I needed to take in to simply survive. I would be eating nearly 5 meals a day, along with some protein milkshakes, and that would just get me by. Basically, my metabolism was out of control. And I did not really realize this until I moved out of my parents' house and went to college. Almost immediately, I realized I did not have enough money to support my habit. Never mind tuition rates, I would look at the cost of that sandwich downstairs, and I had to somehow decrease that metabolism that I had. I eventually got it down to a more normal level, and that was good to save some money. I'm sure that many of you can relate to this phenomenon, the way teenagers can sometimes really need to consume food. And I think they're in a Bible study right now, so we can talk about that even more. No. On a more serious note, how can we, in the same way, really grow in our hunger for the Word of God and His ways? Let's turn to Matthew 5, verse 6, for what Jesus had to say about this. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Although we turn to this section of the Bible quite a bit, there's so much to what Jesus had to say here, even in that one word, hunger. In the time that I have up here, I want to encourage all of us to think and meditate on how we can grow in hunger and thirst for righteousness. And moreover, how we can certainly be encouraged by the promise at the end of that same verse that guarantees that we will be filled. I will also give you a short explanation of why this is so important to concentrate on and possible ways that we can increase our hunger for God's Word. First of all, why is this so important? There are so many references in the Bible to the Word of God being food for our soul. God thought this relationship was very important. He wants to realize that His Word and His ways are more important than any type of food. Satan, in one of his attempts to try to mess in any way possible with God's plans, tried to tempt Jesus while he was fasting for 40 days. Jesus, of course, passed this temptation because he had the proper perspective. And quoting the Old Testament, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Unlike Esau in the Old Testament that sold his birthright when he was hungry, the hunger that Jesus had for the spiritual far outweighed his physical hunger for food. Jesus on many occasions states that he is the bread of life, and that whoever drinks of this water that he gives him will never thirst again. This is so important that Jesus gave us specific instruction to make this relationship a symbolic part of the most sacred of all God's holy days, Passover. Please now let us turn to John 6:27. This is one of the scriptures that gives us a good idea of the perspective that God is pushing for us to have. John 6:27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Again, God's Spirit, His Word, His ways are what matters most. This does not, of course, mean that we don't need physical food. But Jesus right there wanted us to give his listeners some perspective. They were perhaps more excited about his physical miracles and the loaves of bread that he offered and then what he was offering spiritually. I could very well see how that could happen because I myself am a huge fan of bread. Mr. Luker, he likes his ice cream. I like my bread with some butter on it. It's likely an Irish thing, but apparently these folks thoroughly enjoyed the bread Jesus made. And I could see almost their faces light up as they saw that bread pass around. The question was, though, did they have at least that same excitement for what Jesus was telling them right there? Another reason why thinking about hunger is so important is that because as we get older, we all too often learn to ignore these most basic of instincts. In a similar way, as we get older, we can ignore what our body tells us, whether it is when we need to go to bed or how far we can actually run without injuring ourselves. I heard a very good example of this in a sermon given a while back. In the magazine National Geographic Adventure, they had an article about why some people survive in the wilderness and why some people don't. The results weren't what you'd expect. It wasn't the ex-military people, the professional hikers, or the experienced hunters that made it. As often was maybe an inexperienced female hiker that made it. As they studied more, they found out the age from 0 to 6 had the best survival rates. And the worst survival rates were from ages 7 to 12. And you know, the question comes, why was there a difference there? The difference in the two sets was that one, the 7 to 12-year-olds acted more like adults and panicked. And they ignored their instincts. On the other hand, the younger children tried to stay comfortable and did not make any complex mental maps of the area with their, they were more in tune with their instincts. When they were tired, they would go into a log and sleep. And when they were hungry, they tried to find something to something to eat. So this, I thought, brings another dimension to why Jesus encouraged us to be like little children. Not that we would survive in the wilderness, but that we would survive in this world to make it to his kingdom. Really, though, we can all relate to this. We've all skipped meals or skipped breakfast, all which can overall lower your metabolism. Satan wants this. He encourages us to skip our spiritual meals by getting us so busy that we have no time for these needs. God, on the other hand, knows that we need to have a constant spiritual intake of at least 5 meals a day, like those teenagers that we once were or that we know now. He invites us to buy what he has to offer. Please turn to Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. I'm very thirsty right now. So, talking about. This is from the New International Version. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, and that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. And you can sure feel that enthusiasm in that verse. So, yeah, thanks. I don't know how Mr. Luker does it for an hour. I was joking with him that I might bring a water pack up here, but I didn't. Thank you, Gilbert. So, what can we do to answer this invitation to the full extent? What are some ways that we can increase our hunger? One of the ways that we can increase our hunger is by eating more, and not only that, by eating more throughout the day. Despite our constant distractions, getting that spiritual food today throughout the day has gotten easier than ever. We have so many resources available on the web, whether it be downloading sermon MP3s, ABC classes, or literature from the UCG website. Or we can have a few different Bibles that are one in our car, one at home, one at work, just to make sure that we get that time in. We can load up that MP3 player or burn a CD and we can listen to it while we go for a walk. Many of us have the options of listening to the spiritual food whenever we want, or reading it whenever we want. So if we start to eat more, you'll begin to realize how much hungry for God's Spirit you really are. Another way to increase our hunger is by working and using what He gives us. This sounds simple, but it's so true. The more we seek to use the food He gives us, the bigger portions we'll get. And finally, the more thankful we are for what He gives us, the more eagerly He will give. This was certainly true when I was growing up with physical food. If I or any of my five brothers would show some appreciation to my mom, somehow we'd get bigger portions the next time. I think God works in the same ways. He, of course, wants us to eat that spiritual food and have that spiritual hunger. So I hope this encourages us to think about how much we really need to hunger and seek after God's Word. I hope that we can all begin to realize how much spiritual food we really need. Like that teenager that's begging his mom for food even though he just ate like 2 hours ago. So let us be like Psalm 1 and says we should be, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, so that we are constantly taking that spiritual food and creating good fruit.